Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I'm going to start talking today about the Apostles' Creed, and over the next several weeks, I'd like to continue discussing what it means, because we say it every week. It's something that we learn by rote. We repeat it over and over again. But I wonder if we all really think about what we're saying and what it means for our daily life. And so I get to teach this all the time in confirmation, like every other year. So I'm going to be using the Small Catechism and talking about Martin Luther's explanation to each of the parts of the Apostles' Creed. I'll spend a couple of weeks on each section, and we'll start with the first one, which is the first article, is what he calls it, the first article of the Apostles' Creed, which is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's not so hard to memorize. It's the explanation that gets a little bit more difficult. What does this mean? What does it mean to say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? What does this mean? I believe that God has created me and all that exists, that he has given me and still preserves my body and soul with all of their powers. He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God protects me in times of danger and preserves me from every kind of evil. All this he does out of his fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Now, some of you probably had to memorize that. Some versions may be different than others, but the general gist is the same. The first thing that I think is important to recognize is just to appreciate all that we have. A lot of times when I think about God creating everything, I just think, wow, he's powerful. Like our songs today. Really, they all kind of say the same thing. Wow, we should stand in awe of God. God is a wondrous God. He's made all this earth and everything in it. Wow, isn't that amazing? And that's sort of praising God. And we're supposed to do that. That's important. But thanking God is a more personal experience. When you receive a gift, you thank the giver. And it's like those, we can be thankful in general for all things, but this is talking more about the specific gifts that you are given from God and appreciating those, to give credit where credit is due. I know that it's easy to not appreciate the things in our life. Recently, our secretary, Amy, for Christmas gave me a little sign, I don't know, that we put in our bathroom. It says, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. Toilet paper, for example, is what it says on there. And it's true. I remember in April, we were running really, really low on toilet paper because we didn't realize it was suddenly going to be such a hot commodity last April. I remember Clella, when she was still the secretary, she gave me for Easter, as an Easter basket, like a thing full of toilet paper because I was a little nervous because I had a pregnant wife at home and we were running low. But we don't think about it. But really, where is that toilet paper coming from? I just got used to it being either, you know, in our, like, in the drawer or, like, at the store. Where was it coming from, though? God, I know this sounds silly, but, I mean, God is even in charge of making the toilet paper. He provides the trees, you know, he provides the materials, the raw materials. He provides the people with the knowledge to create it, and the delivery drivers and the stores that provide, it's all coming from God. I know that probably sounds silly, but we don't really think about that kind of thing. Like toilet paper, God would care about toilet paper? Well, I care about it. I'm grateful that he makes these plans. One time I broke my hand in my senior year of high school, I suddenly realized how often I used my left hand, like just to hold a piece of paper when I was writing. I mean, you'd think that a cast would do enough, but it would. My paper still wiggled all over the place, and there was just all kinds of things. I couldn't run anymore because it threw me off balance. I couldn't throw shot or discus and track anymore, so I was out of track for that season. I mean, there were just all kinds of things that I needed my left hand for that I didn't realize, and I thought, these 6 weeks, I'm never going to not appreciate my hand again. But of course I did. You know, I don't think about it all the time. And that's the problem. We don't think about all these gifts that God gives us each and every day. God provides us with all kinds of things. We don't always realize it's coming from God. There's this girl I know that dealt with infertility. Her and her husband dealt with infertility for years. And it was so stressful for her, so upsetting. And she said one of the most comforting parts of the Bible for her was in 1 Samuel when it talked about this lady named Hannah, who ended up being the mother of Samuel. But Hannah, it said God closed her womb, that she was barren, and it was sort of God's fault is what it looks like. And I thought, how in the world, why would that give you comfort to know that God made this woman barren, you know? And she said, well, because like the doctors always seem to either trying to blame me or my husband or just, you know, the treatments aren't working or it's just fate, you know, and she's like, none of that gave me any comfort. But to know that God had a role to play in this, that I could, and then that God, I could pray to God that he would give me this family, that he would give me this baby, that gave her a lot of comfort to know that if it's anyone's fault, I'm going to blame God, and that way I can plead to him to give me this great desire of my heart. And for them, you know, they through adoption and actually just a natural birthing process, they have like, I think it's 5 kids now. So it's kind of an amazing little story for them. But just think, like, God is the one that provides your family. Not just you, not just the adoption agency. It's God. One of the important parts of this understanding God as our creator is also when it says that he provides for our reason and the faculties of our mind. I think this is so important. Sometimes Christians feel guilty for questioning things or having doubts, but God gave you a brain, and there's a reason for that. He didn't just make us into sheep that would follow naturally. He gave us minds where we say, well, that doesn't seem consistent, and we want to look into that. Or we say, why does God want us to do that? And we want to search into that. Well, I think that's a good thing. God gave you the brain. Why not figure this out? Why not ask questions? It's more than that, too. Like, sometimes people think faith and science, that they don't work together. I think that's silliness. God gave us the power of observation. He gave us the power to make hypotheses and to test them out. I mean, this is what science is. I think that science is a wonderful thing. What I think is important, though, is that science is in service to God. Because if God gave us these as gifts, we want to use science to understand the world God made for us more. We want to understand what makes this world tick. That there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a problem. But of course, like I said, we see that God gave us science. We want to use those abilities in service to the God who made it. So I hope that you can see it's not just like, wow, God, you're amazing. God made the earth. No, it's more than that. He gives us all these little gifts, and we can live out our lives in service to him by using those gifts. But it's also important to recognize that he didn't just create and sort of let the thing go, like wind up the toy and just let it walk away. He's with us every single day. It says, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. In John 15, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. I think it's also important that we recognize that when we are active in our lives, we can't do it without him. One time I remember a professor reminding me that, or my class, that God gives us the breath of life. You know, when we're born, like, we have this whole life and it comes from God. But he's like, at any moment, you know, he could take it away. And so every time in the traditional service, they have this, at the end of the service, you're singing the song. It says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. I'm standing up here, and I swear every time I think, don't let me die right now, God. Like, I always think this, because at any moment, he could just take it away. You know, he could just take me away, take away my breath. It just reminds me that every breath that I take and that you take is a gift from God, because he is with us every moment to sustain us. That's what it says in this explanation, to sustain us. I like the song, Jesus Take the Wheel, but I don't agree with it because it makes it sound like we're the ones in the driver's seat and God's just, you know, gonna to take the wheel from us. I don't think that's true. I think the poem Footprints makes a lot more sense. If you don't know this poem, I'm sure most of you do, but it's the idea that this guy looks back on his life and he sees two sets of footprints. Then every once in a while, when times get really bad, there's only one set. And he says, God, why did you leave me alone? Why weren't you there when I needed you the most? And God says, well, I was there. I was carrying you. Those were my footprints you saw, right? I was carrying you. That makes a lot more sense to me. I know that sometimes it's difficult to imagine God always being with you. Maybe you want more freedom. He's like the father that never lets go of the handlebars when you're learning to ride a bike. But for some of you, you might notice that you struggle with life sometimes. You struggle riding your bike sometimes. And it's nice to know that he's always there to hold on to keep, until things are better again. So he doesn't just create us. He sustains us. He's there to support us throughout our life. And I think all of this understanding can help us live our lives in a new way. And because God doesn't just create, but he invites us and gives us the opportunity to join him in his work of creation. The way that it talked about this in my seminary books was that we are co-creators. Obviously, we can't make things, but we can join God in this life in making this world a better place, if you want to think of it that way. For instance, when God made the Garden of Eden, he put Adam in it and said, take care of this garden that I made, right? I mean, and then God made the animals, and then God said, hey, Adam, you name them. I mean, those are important jobs to do. Obviously, it's not going to save you. I mean, your daily work isn't going to save you, take you to heaven. That's not the purpose. It's just to be of some earthly good for the rest of the world, to take care of the things that God has put you in charge of. There's God's or Adam's opportunity to make a difference in this life. And another thing that's kind of interesting about knowing that God created us is that God created us good. We talk a lot about sin, and I mean, I'm going to continue talking about sin, but the reason sin matters is because God created us good. Sin throws us out of alignment. But if we're good, we need to take care of this good creation that God gave us. We need to leave it in better shape than when we got it. I don't know if anyone was taught this by their fathers or moms or grandparents, but I was taught that, like, if I borrow a mower and I mow the lawn, I'm supposed to clean out the mower when I'm done. I'm supposed to refill it with fuel. I'm supposed to make sure it's in good working order and clean it up and then return it better than when I got it. That was the idea. And so when you are out in your daily lives and God gives you something to do, don't just do it halfway. You know, do it to the best of your ability and leave it in better situation than when you found it. That's the goal. It's called stewardship. That's the idea, that we're supposed to leave this world better than when we found it, or at least do our best to try to do it that way. It applies as well to our bodies. Like when I was growing up, one of our weekly meals, my dad, after my parents were divorced, we ate a bag of Doritos and a 12-pack of Diet Coke. Like, that was the whole meal. Now, if I continued living that way my entire life, that would not be taking care of my body well, right? It's not a great idea to live that way. It only works all the way up through high school, I guess, or maybe college. But you know, taking care of your body is a way to thank God for the creating that he's done. But it's not just our bodies, it's our minds. I mean, some people are going through a lot of depression and anxiety right now. You got to find someone to talk to, whether it's a friend or a family member or a therapist or whatever. But taking care of your mind is also a way to thank God for the gifts that he's given us. Our spiritual lives, the fact that you're here or watching online, tells me that you're taking care of the spiritual gift that God has given you, the gift of faith, that you want to keep nourishing it in your life. This is another way that we can thank God for the gift that he's given us. And finally, it's not just about how we treat ourselves, it's how we treat other people. There's this book I just finished reading called Humankind by Rutger Bregman. And here's one of the quotes. It says, "Few ideas have as much power to shape the world as our view of other people, because ultimately we get what we expect." In this book, it makes the point that people are actually normally good. They do good things. If we assume people are evil and they're going to be mean to us, we'll get what we expect. But if we assume that people are good and are probably going to treat us kindly, normally, we'll also get what we expect from that. So how we treat other people who are God's good creation, that really matters, that we know that God has created us, but also other people. So how we treat them matters to God, and it's going to actually make this world a better place. So I pray that when you're going through this week, that you think, yeah, God is amazing because he created this whole world. But what does that mean for me in my daily life? It means that I want to thank God for all the things that we give, even the little things that we don't normally appreciate on a day-to-day basis. That we want to remember that God is always walking by our side. He's there to celebrate with us in the good times, but also he doesn't leave us alone when times get tough. And finally, we're given this wonderful creation to do something with, to join him in his work, to take care of it, to take care of ourselves, to take care of other people, to take care of the world, to be good stewards of this wonderful creation. That's what we're talking about when we say, "I believe that God has created me and all that exists," or when we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." It's a shorthand for all these other ideas, but I pray that in your daily life, you remember these ideas and it changes how you live in this world. Amen.